Tonight we assemble together, thankful for the Lord's church here at Wood, thankful for the congregations where you attend, mindful of our studies last night that allow our congregations to be like the congregation in Thessalonica, a congregation that was continually in prayer, a congregation that embraced their works of faith, that grew into labors of love, and that also embraced an enduring hope as the elect of God, those chosen of God through their obedience to the gospel by which they were called, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Within congregations of God's people, you find people. You find congregations are comprised of individuals. Whereas last night we looked at congregation in Thessalonica to motivate, to revive us as congregations of God's people. Tonight, let's go with an individual by the name of Philip. Now, I'm not speaking of Philip the apostle, but Philip of whom we are introduced in Acts the 6th chapter. Tonight, if you'll take your Bibles and go to Acts 6, we're going to go to Acts 8 momentarily. We'll conclude the evening with Acts the 21st chapter. Jason Jackson is the editor of the Christian Courier. His dad, the late Wayne Jackson, edited that for a number of years. Fantastic material at ChristianCourier.com. Grateful to know Jason and his brother Jared. And some time ago, Jason, in an article called Character Studies in Joshua, said the following. The power of biblical character studies involves the revelation of God's intervention and his evaluation of individuals, pointing out what's positive and what's negative, those traits to be copied and those to be banished from our lives. When you and I look in the Bible and we see the number of individuals within the pages of God's Word, we are encouraged tonight with a Philip. And on the other hand, we would avoid the thought of naming a beautiful baby girl Jezebel with all of our mights. You know, when we look in the Bible and we find the number of individuals, those for God, those against God, and we want to take and learn from them. I was more of a baseball fan, I guess, as a teenager, more than I am now. And I remember in the 70s and into the 80s, Billy Martin was a baseball manager, mainly for the Yankees, but he also managed the Tigers, the Rangers, and the Athletics, and there may be another one or two in there. In reading his book, Billy Ball, he stated that he learned from all the managers of whom he played when he played baseball. And he learned what to do, and he learned what not to do. He learned what worked best, he learned what didn't work the best, and blended it into his own style of managing. Tonight, folks, we want to learn the best from this character, Philip. Philip is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, one of my favorite individuals. As a matter of fact, we are just beginning through our work at International Gospel Hour, seminars that we are sharing with congregations that support and help our work. One of those seminars is called Seek Out Among You, taken from Acts 6. It is a seminar dealing with leadership in the local congregation. I guess the best way to describe it is, folks, over the years, we have had a tendency in the church, we have not meant to do it, but it winds up this way a lot of times, that the preacher, in essence, becomes the pastor. The pastors, who are the elders, somehow wind up being more deacon work. Deacons would be willing to do their work if they knew what their works were about and how they used their works to help the congregation. And so this seminar of Seek Out Among You helps us to kind of back up and see how we have done our work for the years and where we need to do it better. One of the best characters to express growth, change, and his labors in the church would be Philip. Tonight I want you to look at four things with me with Philip, and I want us to be revived with his faith. I want us to be revived with his teaching, both public and private, and to be revived with his home life. You're in Acts chapter 6. We'll begin tonight to let us be revived with the faith of Philip. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring or complaining among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration or distribution. Then the 12, that's the 12 apostles, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Quick commentary. It does not make any sense for us to stop what God has commanded for us to do and do something else, although it is important. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you," or "seek out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but," here's the reminder, "but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Fastest business meeting ever done in the Church of Christ. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose. Quick side note here. Once they say yes in a business meeting, or elders, once you say yes, do it. Quit debating it. Do it. Go on and get it done. Somebody says, "What you heard, Brother Archie?" Judgment Day. Back to verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip," who we'll talk about tonight, "the others, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them." What was the end result? "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Notice, first of all, let's be revived with the faith of Philip. Look at this text with me. "The brethren were told to look," or "to seek out." Seek out among you. Look out. And they gave them the criteria. Philip did not sign up on a list. Now, listen to me, church. There's nothing wrong with list. But I grew up in the Lord's church, and let me tell you what happens. The majority of our announcements are at the first before we begin worship. Then we bring forth the announcements, and we talk about our works and say, "Before you leave today, be sure you sign up to do something." And then the vast majority of us get in the car, and guess what's one of the first things we say out loud or to our spouses? "I forgot to sign that list." Why? We're creatures of habit. We talk to the same folks. We sit a lot of times in the same place. We go out the same doors. We're creatures of habit. So we have every intention to sign up that evening. And we get there, we go through the same motions, if you will, before and after worship. We go the same way, talk to the same folks. Slips our mind, we get home that night, and man, I forgot to sign up again. And then the person who put the sign-up list out there is now discouraged because it seems like nobody cares because nobody signed up on the list. Now, nothing wrong with the sign-up list, folks, but let me throw something at you right here real quick. Eliminate sign-up list. Every congregation just about I go to has in their pews cards. A lot of times we sign those cards for attendance or whatever. When you hear something is needed, sign it up on the card right then. Turn the card in, and guess what you in essence have? Your sign-up list. When it's fresh on our mind, folks, we're able to do it. We can carry through our works. Notice, Philip didn't sign up a list. Nothing wrong with that, but still. He wasn't pressured. He wasn't caught in a hallway between Sunday school and worship to be told, "We need you to teach a class," and you don't want to say no because you want to serve the Lord, but sometimes you don't feel like that you're adequately prepared. His life reflected the kind of person needed. When we look at the criteria, Philip met that criteria. Look, if you will, at the word appoint in verse 3. That word appoint is very strong. It also has a meaning of dependable. In other words, these individuals chosen were those that people knew and knew they could get the job done, and among them was Philip. Now let me ask you, do you think they got the job done? Every indication we see from verse 7, what happened when they appointed these men and sent them to carry out their work? I want you to notice that Philip was one who indeed was growing in the knowledge of Christ. As we know from 2 Timothy 2:15, to study or give diligence to make ourselves approved unto God, work with a need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can rightly divide or understand the word of truth as we get involved into studying. Philip grew in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of the final words of 2 Peter chapter 3 that we're able to grow. And 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, we find those wonderful, what we call the Christian graces that we add to our faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control, and so on, because we are to grow in our faith. Philip was one that he was growing to the point he was chosen for a work. Question, is your faith and your involvement growing to where you would be chosen for a work where you attend? You would be the one they would ask, can you carry this work through? Notice also, if you will, are we taking advantage of growing our faith in study, and in turn we are serving? You see, this was a work, the daily ministration of those widows that needed attention. They were able to seek out those men who were studious, and now they're going to become servants. And I dare say when they selected them because of their faith and because of their dependability, they had to determine what's the best way we seven can minister to these widows. How can we carry this through? I don't know how they did it. Did one of them take a day and see that it was done? I don't know. We don't know. But we do know this, they did it. They put together a plan on how to do it. So many times, folks, we say, I don't know enough about it, when we would do well to just, if we're chosen, work the very best we can and make that work. Stop and think about it, friends. We would not have ever worked the jobs that we may have if we had that attitude. Well, I don't know enough about the job. Well, you were qualified to hire, weren't you? Yes, I was. Well, when do we grow in that job? The more we serve, the more we do it. You ask anybody who's going to get married, they've got all the answers. And when they get married, the difference is they love one another. They put each other first as God commands. And marriage grows sweeter as the years go by. I was asked recently, I think it was Justin just last night, he and Sarah said, does Renita miss you when you're gone? Yes. I did not hesitate. It'll miss her when I'm gone. And that's a sweet missing. Folks, we got to grow our faith in study, then serve. And the end result will always be, when you look at Acts 6 and verse 7, the word of God increased, the disciples multiplied, and there were those that were added to the faith, specifically a great company of priests. This is why we can be revived with the faith of Philip. Philip was chosen to do a work as he was growing. Look out among your congregation and see who can carry forth the work. They are there. Seek out among them. They are there and they're willing to work. His name, he was better known as Tip O'Neill. At one time, the Speaker of the House, about the time of the Reagan presidency back in the early 80s. America was amazed how well Tip O'Neill, the Democrat, and Ronald Reagan, the Republican president, got along well and got much done. Mr. O'Neill tells the story of helping out a neighbor one day when he was in local politics, and she told him, I'm going to vote for you, Tom. That was his given name, Thomas. He said, I'm going to vote for you, although you didn't ask me. He looked at her and he said, well, we've been neighbors for years. I've helped you. You've helped me. We've seen families grow. I didn't think I'd have to ask for your vote. She said, Tom, let me tell you something. People like to be asked. In the Lord's church, people like to be asked. They like to be asked, I need your help. Can you help us with this? People like to be asked. When we see this character of Philip, he grew in his faith, but when he was asked to carry forth a work, he was ready to go. Elders in our assembly tonight, elders that may be viewing us through Facebook Live, you are in charge as shepherds over the flock to know your sheep. Do you have the sheep in the right places doing their work? May I exhort congregations similar to Wood, where there are no elders, but you have brethren meetings, that you seek out among you, just as they did here without elders. Elders did not come appointed till Acts 14, to seek out among you and say, how can we get this done? And then, friends, do it. Do it. Notice the second thing about Philip. I want you to go with me now to Acts the 8th chapter and verses 5 and 6, where Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. We back up into Acts 8 and verse 4, and we see how the church was scattered due to a great persecution. So what happens? Best we can tell, Philip has moved onward from his serving the widows, thus growing within the church to now where he is teaching. Now watch this. Don't miss this, y'all. He is still serving, but his mode of serving has changed. Now, you may wonder at this point, well, when they were all scattered everywhere, were the widows neglected again? And the answer to that would be no. Although, remember, the church was scattered, the church also was growing. And there were still disciples in Jerusalem. Remember, over in Acts 9, Saul tried to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem, and they were leery of him until Barnabas came along. Don't miss this, folks. Those individuals added were trained to serve. That's the meaning of a disciple. I grew up in an era that when you were asked to do something in worship, to serve publicly, whether it was to read, pray, serve at the table, you did it. If you were in the bulletin or sign-up list or wherever, you were told, you got to look and see when you're down to serve. And you never said no. You did it. You might not have been the best at it, but you never become the best at it unless you begin. We're not out there to be the very best. We're out there to give God glory. We keep giving God the glory. We will grow into what we need to become. You just never said no. Years ago, I went back up and preached in a meeting near the congregation that I grew up. And coming in the door was Brother Albert McCord. Now, that name may not ring a bell to you, but it does to me. Brother Albert was not very tall in stature, probably about 5 foot. Brother Albert had a Bible the size of Texas. And he would have the bulletin on there, and he would go around to check with the men. And you're serving here or serving there. But he would come to me and say, Jeff, so-and-so can't make it. Can you fill in right here? And I never told him no. And I'm not telling you that to paint a little halo on my head. I just want to tell you, folks, the era I grew up in, you didn't say no. When you were asked, you did your best. And doing our best with God's power is better than doing nothing at all without God's power.
Amen.
Don't tell me Oh, lady, would you mind teaching the 4 or 5-year-olds? Well, I'm afraid I don't know enough. Hogwash. You are a mature Christian lady, and you're going to tell me a 4- and 5-year-old youngin? I'd say youngin in these parts, can't I?
Yeah.
A 4- or 5-year-old youngin knows more about the Bible than you do? You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Well, I'm just afraid I don't know enough to teach them teenage boys. Plus, they don't behave themselves. Look, you've forgotten more, good brother, than those teenage boys know. Number two, it's a proven fact. Teenage boys, a lot of times, will listen to an older man, maybe a little bit more than his own daddy, and develop a good friendship. And number three, if they misbehave, tell their mama and daddy and stop it. Ask the daddy to help you teach the class. Problem solved. Loving, I'm not trying to pick at something. But when we add people to the church, we need people to know we're ready to go to work. We've got to grow. How did we learn to pray? Listening to those older brothers pray. Need a little modification along the way. Remember one time I prayed for the boys to come home from Vietnam. Grow up in the 70s. I'd heard that pray. I had a good brother pull me aside later and said, Jeff, they're home. I was young. I was a teenager. Okay, so sue me. I didn't watch the NBC Evening News or CBS or ABC. And if I took a poll among how many of you at teenagers are watching the evening news, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I didn't know. But I'm thankful for the brother that took me aside to help me to grow, to pray. Grateful for that. With Philip, you find his mode of serving is changing. Time's getting away from him. Let me go here, verse 12. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Let's bring forth some application here. First of all, Philip and his teaching brought forth the church, the kingdom, the authority and salvation, things that make the church distinct from the world, and yes, things that make the church distinct from denominationalism. Mm-hmm. Philip preached the kingdom. Philip no doubt preached the kingdom was in essence then. Philip preached not in essence, but he preached that by authority the kingdom was then. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, when Paul is writing to the church and tells them they were translated into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom is then. When Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, and 19 that upon the rock, the solid foundation, that he is the Son of God, that he would build his church, and the gates of Hades, hell, would not prevail against it, he said, I will give unto thee the keys, the authority to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And they were added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Dear friends, the kingdom was in existence then. The kingdom is not to be set up on this earth. The kingdom is to rise up from this earth when the road is called up yonder. Thank you, Brother John. That's where the kingdom rises. 1 Corinthians 15:24. He preached the authority of Christ. He preached the name of Christ. He had authority in his preaching. He was one of the 7 chosen, full of faith. He was preaching, and he was able to affirm his preaching as they did in the first century with the miracles that he did. He simply carried forth the authority that Christ said God gave unto him before he ascended into heaven, Matthew 28:18-20, and which later Paul would write in Colossians 3:17, that all we do in word or in deed, we do all in the name of Christ, his authority. Philip preached baptism into Christ, men and women. He preached the same gospel they did on the day of Pentecost. What was the end result? They were baptized into Christ. And now he's preaching here in Samaria, and they are baptized into Christ. Dear friends, that's what makes preaching of the gospel, that makes the church distinct from the world.
That's right.
when we preach these. I want you to also notice here in application a reminder, we've alluded to this a little bit, but to see how Philip moved from his mode of serving. Dear friends, one simple thing that we can do in our local works is move some folks around. Listen, never ever wear out the same Bible school teachers. Teachers, be willing to become students, which will help you grow. Those assistants are backups, have to come to a time in their lives that they need to cease being assistants and cease being backups and become teachers. That's Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, y'all. And when we think about this, it's exciting growth as a servant. I've had to translate things through the years. Somebody come up and said, I need a break. Well, after a period of time, I'd go back to them, and they weren't real excited about taking that certain work back. Now, folks, hold on a minute. It's been a while since I've been out of the secular world and work, but let me see if I get this right. If you have a job, and then you have a certain break time fit in, what does that mean? Means you take a break, but you didn't quit your job. You came back to work. You just took a 15-minute break, got a cup of coffee, went outside, whatever. So when you tell me you want a break, I'm figuring you're going to come back. Folks, I've learned in the kingdom a lot of times within the church, when people say I need a break, they're tired. They're trying to think of a nice way to say, I just don't want to do this anymore. I have seen deacons realign, moving from one work to another work, and then they placed someone else in that work that he left. It revitalized both works and helped the congregation. Appointments of deacons, certain works, are not the Supreme Court for life. Changing around a preacher's work. One thing that we do with International Gospel Hour, we jokingly say we give preachers a raise without costing a dime. We help preachers and churches who'd like to have a radio program, but the preacher has workload on him or he's involved in other works, that prepping a work or 15-minute, 30-minute radio program can be strenuous. That's where we at International Gospel Hour help. We have a lot of churches that pay for time, that we are their radio broadcast. It helps preachers, it helps with workload. Folks, we've got to constantly look, because just like in the days of Acts 6 and Acts 8, things change. Congregations age. Children grow up, and we have to blend them in, and we want to get everybody working diligently. There's a new church plant back home, the North Bradley Church of Christ, and they did something recently that just caught my attention. When they began to meet, they had a conference room that within 10 months, they had pretty well filled it. And in the office complex where they're meeting, they found a room down the hall that was unfinished. They talked to the ones who owned the property and found they could rent that part of the building for just a little bit more and could go in and make the changes themselves. Beautiful auditorium. I mean, they did an awesome job and put five classrooms back behind the pulpit and all in there. One of the members stepped up. They do not have elders. And one of the members stood up and he led that construction work. When they were done, he moved on to another work within. And when they wanted to do a fellowship hall area, another brother stepped up and he took that work. And now that he's done, he's moved into another work. Folks, I'm telling you, it's the best thing you've ever seen. And in your local works, stop. Realign some people. Move the mode of serving around and revive them in their work. And we see this with Philip, his mode of serving has changed. Would you notice with me next, thirdly, let's be revived with the private teaching of Philip. Drop down a little further. Where in Acts 8, starting with verse 26, time will not permit us to read the whole text, but would you notice that Philip ran to the chariot. In Acts 8, in verse 30, he asked the right question. Do you understand what you read? Philip began where the eunuch was, Acts 8, 35. He began at the same scripture. Philip was consistent with his teaching of Christ, just like he was to the audience in Samaria. He was to this individual, authority onward, and Philip baptized the eunuch immediately, Acts 8, 38 and 39. Now, watch how he grows. With his ability publicly, Philip did so privately. Not only could he instruct and preach publicly, he could privately. Here's our question. Do we have a chariot to which we can run? If you and I look out in our local congregations, we will find individuals sitting on pew who can be reached with the gospel. A husband that has come with his wife. A wife that has come with her husband. A son who's married a young lady and they need to learn the gospel. Sometimes, folks, we can just look out and find to whom we could speak. I have to go back and take a look at the priority of teaching souls. The apostles did not move from that. They kept right on going. Philip is serving, and his mode of serving changes, and now he's gone and joined himself to a chariot. And he is speaking to that eunuch and talking to him and teaching him. Folks, I dare say every one of us, again, has a chariot to whom we could run. Someone we could talk about the Bible with. Don't underestimate and think, well, I don't know enough. You're going to be asked a question you may not know, but that's an opportunity for study, and guess what? You will grow and you will know. I mean, let's face it. Every husband in the world, hasn't happened to all of them, but there's a lot of husbands that will forget their anniversary one time. They'll never forget it again. They'll forget their wife's birthday one time. They'll never forget it again. And for those of you ladies sitting there smiling, you better not be forgetting your husband's anniversary and birthday too. Because God will get you for that. I'm sorry, I'm not one of these preachers that beats up the husbands all the time. Sorry, folks. You know, sorry. The private teaching of Philip. Now, folks, have you stayed with me on this? Do you see how this young man has grown? And his serving mode has changed. That ought to excite all of us. Here's the last one. Let's be revived now at the home of Philip. Go with me now. In Acts 8 and verse 40, the Bible says that Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Where did he wind up there in Caesarea? Well, Acts 21 gives us a little bit more indication. Drop down to Acts 21. Verses 8 and 9, when those of Paul's company came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. Do you suppose that's the same Philip in Acts 6? Yes, what it says here. Philip the evangelist, same one in Acts 8? Yes, right here. They're at the home of Philip. Nothing else is said of Philip from Acts 40 till Acts 21. I want you to notice something, two things stand out in this household. First of all, the daughters of Philip, verse 9, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, folks, I want you to think with me on this, that the daughters of Philip did have the gift of prophecy. Now, listen, this was not a predicting, but they had a spiritual gift of teaching and instructing. And every indication shows that they instructed among the ladies, or they very well could have instructed men who were not Christians A lot out there to look at. All we know is this. They had that gift and teaching of teaching and instruction. But have you ever stopped to think who their daddy was? You think they learned a lot from Philip? You think they gained a lot from Philip and his ability? Now don't miss this, the second one. Have you ever thought about Paul in the house of Philip this way? Paul was known as Saul, and he had a part in Stephen's death. Wasn't Stephen one of the seven with Philip? Yes, he was. And Stephen was one of the original seven with Philip. And so here's Paul going back in Acts 8. We find that he made havoc of the church. And Philip was the one that was scattered because Paul, and then Saul, was making havoc of the church. But when Paul comes to Caesarea, he goes in the house of Philip. Oh, look at the power of the gospel and the power of forgiveness. You ain't coming in my house. I don't care if you have been baptized. You killed one of my cohorts that helped us with the widows. You stood right there and looked at the coats of them that stoned. Well, no. No. Wasn't said. When they arrived, they entered the house of Philip the evangelist. And there is Paul with him. We don't know what may have been discussed among them. The Bible doesn't tell us, and we don't need to know. But it does make you wonder what they talked about. Here is Philip. And in chapter 21, verse 12, they besought Paul not to go to Jerusalem, but Paul did. Verse 14, they said, "The will of the Lord be done." They supported Paul with his word. Now, folks, when we look at this, a couple of things. Don't miss Philip's daughters and their labors. And let's ask ourselves, how are we influencing our families? And are we also taking the time to develop our youth to be teachers and to be servants? I'd love it when a young man would obey the gospel in my East Side days, because I would go up to one of the deacons and I would say, "Brother Doyle, put him down to read scripture next month. Just do it. Put him down to read scripture." Now, I remember one day a young man in Bible class said, "You know, I'd like to do more in the church." He said, "About all I do is read scripture, and I wonder how in the world did I get that started?" I said, "Funny you ask. Begin somewhere where our youth can grow and develop them toward teachers and servants. You have a young lady, 15, 16, 17, she grew up in the church, she's got good faith, she's learning. Bible school teacher, take her aside, not both times, Sunday and Wednesday, she's still growing, she's still learning. Take her aside and say, 'Help me in class.' Fix it where she can teach a class. That's how we grow, that's how we learn." Brother Bill, Brother Justin, Ralph, preaching brothers, how many of us started by, still bugged me to hear it, but it was true. How many of us started by making little talks? And then we start preaching. And then we won't quit, and they wonder what happened to the little talks. It's because you limited us then, and we can preach now. Let's be ready to every good work. That's the words in Titus 3, 8, 14. Good works, maintain good works. Folks, I love Philip. He's just a wonderful character, wonderful individual in the Bible. And he made a difference in every area of the Bible. He made a difference with those widows. Started with his faith. Became a servant. Then his mode of serving changed in public teaching, private teaching, influenced his home. Folks, allow this lesson tonight to be a lesson that would encourage us to grow and for us not to be stagnant in our labors. For us as elders to seek out good servants among the flock of which we oversee, move them in the right place. Move that good deacon from one work to another. Not that he's not doing this one well, but we need him over here. Place someone here. Constantly look how things can adjust, what can be done. Good sisters, help one another. Help one another in the teaching of our children, our young ladies. Blend those individuals in under the oversight of the elders and their approval. And let's use a great example like Philip to help us change our mode of serving to whom we serve and what we do. It all began with Philip's faith. That means that Philip had obeyed the gospel of Christ, and it all begins right there. When a person believes in God, and tonight it was prayed earlier by Ralph, for the one soul or more that believes in Christ, tonight is your night. It's time to grow. It's time to move. It's time to embrace repentance. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as the Son of God. You can do that tonight. Be buried with him in the waters of baptism, just like they were in the New Testament. Added to his church, growth begins. And that is a beautiful thought, to be saved from one's sins and to grow in Christ. Dear brother or dear sister, have you been like Philip, or do you find yourself kind of going backward? Yes, you're still in assembly, but your body's in the building, but your soul is thinking elsewhere. You're struggling. Maybe the days of COVID-19, possible sickness, weakened us to pull back away more. Folks can't answer all that, but I do know this. Is it possible in our assembly tonight that we are not growing like Philip? We're not taking advantage of opportunities and we find ourselves stagnant or in a rut? Let's pray with you and let's pray for you. Pray that the Lord will forgive you of that direction and revive and renew you tonight in that better direction for our Lord. Jesus is tenderly calling, and he is on our side. Will you respond to him tonight?